What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind. Oh,
It's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
Hi, everybody. I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Kelsey Cook.
And I'm Delaney Fisher.
And this is Self-Helpless, the show where three type A stand-up comedians dive into the world of self-help and self-improvement with a dash of skepticism.
We love that we hate it. We hate that we love it, I would say.
Yeah. Self-help. Look at that. Look at that clean, clean line that you just spit out there.
Can't get away from it, but you know,
this is gonna go great. See, that would go on the movie poster if this were a movie, that quote that you just said.
Sound bites left and right.
Speaking of quotes, we're gonna get into our first segment. Our first segment is called Quotables, and that's when one of us brings to the table a quote that we either hate to love or really resonates with us. And I think today it's gonna resonate with us. Kelsey, what do you have?
Yeah, so this is something that all three of us have experienced, because I've had both of you on my podcast. When you come in, it's a poster that's hanging up on my wall. It says, "Remember, you have as many hours in the day as Beyonce," which, let's just take a second.
Let's just take a second to drink that in.
I'm aware it is a very basic bitch home decor item, but that's why we're here. This is part of this podcast, is we totally buy into this sugary, oh my god, that totally resonates with me. Yeah. But also oh god, why am I hanging this? This is
this is
awful. But I feel like, being from our generation, Beyonce is absolutely somebody that we look at as, damn, she is amazing, but also so self-made. I mean, she busts her ass, and it is true. It's a cool thing to look at and be like, yeah, she does not live on a different planet. She also has 24 hours in the day, and it makes you want to just bust your ass.
So I need some clarification on this quote, because is it saying basically Beyonce is so awesome that we should be as awesome as Beyonce, we could be as awesome, or Beyonce is as normal as us? You know what I'm saying?
I think it's the first one. This is the type of quote that motivates you because it makes you feel a little shitty.
We could be Beyonce, but we're not. Mm-hmm. Is that what it's really getting at?
Yeah.
Okay.
If we had better time management, we could all be Beyonce.
Yeah, that's really rough.
Or at least Jay-Z.
I can't believe you have that in your home. Every day you have to stare at that. That's horrendous. That is self-torture.
Yeah, oh, look at that.
Full-blown masochism, for sure.
I just love that it's on your wall. It's not a screensaver. You printed it.
I printed it. I bought it off
you
of Etsy.
It.
I paid
How
money.
How much was it?
I want to say it was $5, but still, I paid money that I earned for this poster that I then went to Aaron Brothers Framing and got a frame for. Like, I went against everything in that quote. I just spent my whole day doing pointless shit, like buying
discount frames. Well, Beyonce has someone frames. Who buys quotes for her.
That's a good point. You have to. I wonder if she has quotes. I would love to ask Beyonce, girl, what is your favorite quote?
Yeah, they're probably just her own quotes, things that she's said all over her home. Probably. I'm assuming
she's like Kanye, but quieter about
it. Yeah, totally. Like only she knows. You know, it's like, I can't believe you paid to feel shitty.
I know that is truly how much I hate myself, but also love myself. It's exactly like you said. We're battling between like wanting to take care of ourselves and also being like, you're not good enough, and like make yourself feel like shit till you're Beyonce.
Yes. Has the quote worked for you?
I would say so.
You're killing it.
Oh, thank you. I do feel like I'm pretty damn good with time management, and I do wake up and like get going on the day, and I work till about as late as I can go. So I do try for that. So I think it has helped. Like when you first heard it, when you saw it,
I lit up like a Christmas tree. I said, I'm going to go home and write that down somewhere.
Yeah, I'm going to get it tattooed on my face.
It made me so happy, but also like, ouch. Yeah. You know, like I watched... Yeah. Like so much Netflix this morning.
Yeah, it does. To see it every day, it does kind of keep you under a microscope a little bit with yourself, where you're like, okay, bitch, like you gotta keep this train moving today. Like you just spent 20 minutes on your Facebook newsfeed looking at that chick from high school's ugly bangs, and it really doesn't matter. Like, why are you doing
this? Say baby.
That too. That's what I look at. Yeah. Question: how old is Beyonce? Do we know?
Oh,
I thought 33, perhaps, maybe 35.
Should I look it up,
makes me feel so much worse that she's like only 6 years older than me personally.
That's a tough game to play with her. She also started 10 years when she was like, yeah.
Oh my god, I'm a child.
Oh my god, yeah. Beyonce started when she was in, you know, childhood.
I know. I'm not at her level at all.
We just all want to be the Beyonce of comedy.
That's a great quote. Yeah. If you've all gotten your money's worth, we can end the podcast here.
Yeah.
So our next segment we call Treat Yourself, and that's going to be about an instance where one of us did something that just taking care of yourself, man, just self-care. Okay. It's so important on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis. Delaney has a great example of treating yourself, and we're going to hear about it right now.
Yeah. Well, I bought myself some titties and it is one of the best decisions I ever made. I've always wanted them. I come from a family of just large-breasted women, just like, and then there's me. Like, it makes no sense.
Right.
So I grew up hearing, you know, real women have curves and na na na. And then I'm just like this little fucking twig. Oh, can we swear on our own podcast? I don't know.
I think so. Yeah.
You know, I'm just walking through, you know, all these voluptuous women with just like not much going on. Not to say that there's anything wrong with that. Like, if you're into that, you're happy with yourself.
Yeah, let's be PC,
please. Yeah, like, hey, if you get
shaming,
little boobies, little butt. Hey, if you're into that, and I wasn't unhappy, but
you can swear, just don't offend skinny girls.
Yeah. God,
only
forbid.
Only rule.
Yeah.
But it's just something I always wanted. I would have been perfectly fine if I never did it, but I was in a position where I was able to, and it was one of those things where some money came in from a project that I did, and it was something like all my friends are getting married and having kids and buying houses, and I was like, what would I do as a single 26-year-old for myself if I had to spend money? And it was like just instant, oh, tits. And then I booked the appointment the next day once that money came in.
Oh my god.
And it's so weird because I'm just not like that. Like I mean not that that's a certain way, but people were very surprised because they're like, oh, you just seem like very confident, and you know, and it's like, I just
well, I feel like that's people saying that they have a low opinion of plastic surgery when they're like, I'm really surprised you got that because you're so cool, you know? And you're like, no, I just wanted this to feel good.
Always wanted it, you know? And it's like people, you know, I really wouldn't know they're fake unless I like probably told them, but I'm so excited. I've been telling everybody. So like everybody knows they're fake because I was so stoked about it.
Right. Not only has Delaney been telling everybody, Delaney has been playing show and tell with her tits. across America.
I have.
More show than tell. There's a lot of action.
I mean, yeah, I've definitely been naked and in front of more people than I like ever have in my life once I got these. I mean, not in a sexual way, just as in like, look at how great I am.
Question. Is it because they're like not technically you? Is it like showing someone your metal arm?
I feel like that is a really good way to, you know,
that's right. Is it like showing someone your metal arm?
Yeah, like
how frequently is that a situation that people have a metal arm?
You're like, you know, like, is it like that? You know how everyday people are like, look at my new metal arm.
It's a great arm. That arm really works for you.
Because I'm worth it.
You know, it's a little bit of that where it's like, yeah, that's not like all mine, so it's okay. But it's also just, I think people are curious because, like, I mean, I was curious before I got them. Like, if anybody had fake boobs, I wanted to see them and touch them and like ask them a million questions. And some people are just not really open about it.
Right, it's still a little taboo in our society. As progressive as we've gotten, and as much like nip tuck and, you know, plastic surgery stuff that's on TV, it's still kind of in real life. Like, oh, like, can I talk about that? Can I ask them? Yeah,
exactly. So I was kind of like, if I find I'm in a conversation and somebody's either curious or asking questions, I'm like, I just offer it. Hey, do you want to see him and touch him? Because that's totally fine. I get it.
I still have not seen or touched them.
Oh, well, you know, there's still time. Podcast. Should I show them live to Taylor on our podcast?
Oh, my God.
Here we go, guys. Here we go.
You don't have to ask Delaney twice. And
Delaney's in a dress, and she's just,
oh my God.
Whipping them out.
Oh, they're great.
They're, I mean, very it's 80, metallic.
It's 85 in LA today.
They're actually metal. Oh, that's nice.
Oh,
they
girl,
don't have nipple
does.
Hairs? You don't have. Oh, that would be the best part.
Oh my God, having fake nipple hairs, just random. Those random weird wiry dog hairs that come out. You're like, what the fuck is this?
Wow. Yeah, I'm so sold on fake boobs now. That never even occurred to me.
Oh no, I still have them. I just meant like.
Oh, you do still have them.
I wasn't prepared to show you on our podcast, so I would have plucked for you, but I may have not.
There was nothing to pluck. You're clean as a whistle.
Yeah, I'm so glad.
It's amazing because they sit so high, like there's no droopage.
Yeah.
And there's like heavier stuff in them. And you're a miracle. You're a wizard. You're a tit wizard.
Every time you show them to people, I think you should start playing Defying Gravity from Wicked on your phone. Just to make it like a little more exciting.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I was gonna say with the boob thing, I also like kept it pretty small. I just went a size up. So I went from a small B to a small C.
They are modest tits.
So yeah, they're pretty modest. Yeah. And like the people ask like, why'd you do it? I was like, this is how I decided to get boobs. I thought about like, if I was by myself on a beach, like in my bathing suit, would I want to have boobs? Nobody else around, just like me reading a book. And I was like, yeah, I would want to have a little bit of boobage. And so I just did it to like fill out a bathing suit a little bit more, fill out some clothing, play with them.
That's a great answer.
You know,
I thought about me alone on a beach.
Yeah,
absolutely. And you know what? There is such like if you were to make a graph of it, just even a slight difference in tit size. Like I know that before my period starts, mine get a little bit bigger, and just that extra amount, you're like, fuck man, I feel good right now. Like I feel like Beyonce, like just all bringing it back to Beyonce. But really, like I totally get how just going up one more cup size would make a huge difference. I mean, they're still tits for Christ's sake. Like you don't want to go five sizes too big because then it's insanity. But yeah. And then we felt yours at my apartment and they feel really real. It's amazing.
I haven't felt them.
Give it a squeeze.
Let me see.
Oh, there you go.
Oh my gosh. Well, I expected them to be harder.
Well, my bra is a
little
firm.
I don't want to hurt you.
So this one is harder than this one. This one is softer.
Oh, okay.
If you feel the difference. Because my right boob was always bigger. And so when they put it in, you know, it pushed out a little bit further.
Thank you for letting me touch your metal arm.
If we were miking the homes of men listening to this right now, you would just hear whap, 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 whap. And just... so much jerking off happening
this
right now, probably.
This is the worst porn ever. Just listening to two girls be like, oh, that does feel real. Yeah.
That is nice.
Oh, my goodness. That's such a good... I think that's a great first treat yourself. Just
absolutely.
Well done. You're a hero.
YOLO. It'll last forever. If it makes you happy, then fucking do it.
Yeah.
You know?
So empowering.
Yes. I think should we move on to the check yourself segment?
We're going to move on to our third and final segment today. Check yourself. This is where we talk about a situation we had this week where somebody else needed some self-help / self-improvement books, movies, literally anything to make them a little bit better. So I had this experience today. I was in Topshop and I was trying on a jacket because you can never have too many.
No, you cannot.
Is there a book for an obsession with jackets? Because I need it. I was trying on a black denim jacket with like studs. Anyway, it was probably too ambitious, but I was standing literally a foot and a half from a mirror in the middle of the store, and I was trying it on and I was kind of looking at it, and I just put it on, and this girl walked up with earrings, stood right in front of me,
no,
like inches from the mirror, and just started putting them in. And I was behind her. I laughed out loud. She did not even look at me. I was like, okay, I'm sorry. What am I? Like, it was such a, I can't even, I was so mad. I like followed her around the store for a few minutes.
So she definitely saw you. Did she think you were just putting on your own jacket and not something that you were trying on?
I don't know. But I was looking in the mirror.
You're using the mirror. Nobody should just like pretend that you're a ghost.
She almost touched me. She was standing right in front of me. It was so weird, like the lack of self-awareness. I was like, I almost said something like, excuse me, but the timing was off, and I'm a comedian and timing is very important to me. So I felt like the moment had passed to do something about it.
Was she partially blind, perhaps?
No, she could see.
Fully autistic, though. Yeah. Because that's some really
I was following her around trying to figure out how old she was.
Okay.
Because she could have been younger. Like, I don't know. I mean, she was like a really pretty thin Asian girl, and she could have been 13 or she could have been 25.
Asian women do not age.
Asians in LA, man, that's a double whammy.
What would be the cutoff age for that to be okay? Like nine years old?
I
feel like even 9 years old, like you're self-aware. I feel like maybe a 6-year old could do that. I'd be like, that's fine.
That's fine.
But once you're 7, get the fuck out of here. I'm buying this goddamn jacket.
I know. I was prepared. I was like, if she's like a junior in high school, I mean, I get it. I guess I was sort of shitty in high school too, but not that shitty. Like
That's
pretty bad.
Did you see what kind of earrings she was trying on?
No, I didn't get that.
Because I feel like that says a lot about a person as well.
I think they were red, or it might have just been the filter over my eyes.
Like, whore. Everybody knows red earrings. You're a whore.
Kelsey's the beauty expert, so I'm sure like earrings say a lot about a person's personality.
Yeah, that's true. Everybody check out Kelsey's makeup channel on YouTube.
Yes.
It is legitimate. I thought that she was joking when I saw her posting about it.
People assumed, and that's totally understandable. And that's, I mean, a great thing with this sort of the podcast vibe too is like, well, I do have other hobbies that I like to do, but I feel like when you're a comic, you get put into a box of like, don't actually enjoy anything. Genuinely, like, you have to be a shithead about everything you do. So it took me a long time to just like let myself try it, and but then I started to do like the stand-ups doing makeup too, and that is a jokey thing.
Yeah.
But occasionally I will put up a real makeup tutorial that I hope
it's great.
Is like helpful to people, but it's tough for my inner cynicism, as we were talking about before, to be like, ugh, that's
to be like, this blush is my favorite.
Yeah, it's like, ooh, that does not match what I say on stage at all.
Oh man.
Yeah, but like, even as comics, we're just like told like not to be happy, like what, like you said, like not enjoy anything. Like,
yeah,
right. Like,
yeah, no, you're supposed to be.
Why can't we just be happy and also successful?
Yeah,
right. I think we're still all getting that point.
Yeah,
absolutely. By the way, I said cynicist. It's cynic, right?
I think it's cynic. Yeah.
Let me just go ahead
that.
And I'm just gonna go ahead and make other people feel better about what other
a cynicist.
A cynicist.
We took you at your word. We were like, yeah,
I know,
for sure.
It's definitely a
Kelsey's
cynic.
Wearing glasses.
I'm that like blonde bitch that's like, I have glasses so I can read.
There's no glass in them, but you look great.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh my God.
Yeah, sorry about that, folks.
Oh, that's
Let's
fantastic.
Just all be real honest with one another sometimes.
Yeah.
We don't know the right words. Right. But
Now we're going to talk about, since this is our first episode of Self-Helpless, we wanted to do something where we talk about the first books that we read that kind of got us started down the self-help obsession path. So who wants to start?
Who wants to start? Delaney, do you want to start? Introduction
sure.
to self-help?
Why not, you guys? The first self-help book I read was when I was 19 because I went through a breakup for the first time. Pretty rough. My boyfriend cheated on me. Wah. And so I like just didn't know how to cope because it was like my world was over. I mean, we had been together a couple years.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask.
Yeah. We had been together a couple years. And then, of course, we got back together after all this for like two more years. Of course, right? Because it was a first love, first relationship. The book did not. So it didn't really work. I went against the book's judgment. But
Delaney skimmed a self-help book.
I glanced at it. Yeah. But it was called, it's called A Breakup Because It's Broken by Greg. Oh, gosh. I hope this is the way you say his name. Greg Berent. Barrett, which he's a comic.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know until I researched this book again today because I haven't read it since I was 19, which is a long time ago. He's a stand-up comic.
He co-wrote He's Just Not That Into You.
Yes. And he's
Oh my God, that's right.
Exactly. Co-author. And he wrote this book with his wife. Oh God, I'm gonna butcher her name too. Amira Ruotola Barrett. Barrett. And yeah, had no
this
idea that
Greg
it was
Barrett.
A comic.
Don't ask the person that said cynicist.
So. Right, I know. So like crazy that I was taking a stand-up comic's advice when I was 19 before I started comedy. But yeah, you know, it was good. It's like, it's got all the different like worksheets, like write the pros and cons of this guy. And like, it tells you how to, you know, help yourself become a super fox. That's what they call you.
God.
A super, you want to be a
Kelsey's going to print out a poster
fox.
That says be a super fox.
Let's be a super fox. Like, you know, because like every book has their own terms and stuff. And like,
right.
They call it a breakover instead of a makeover. Oh, it's precious, you guys. It's
break
super precious.
Over.
But like I didn't know
like a bad movie.
Yeah, you know, it's really a breakover bad. And you want to become a super fox and he'll tell you all the different ways, both of them, him and his wife. There's stories about other people getting dumped really shittily and it makes you feel a little bit better for a split second. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I ended up at a Barnes & Noble's, which I don't think they have anymore because nobody reads books. But my mom.
They have Barnes & Noble's.
Do they have them?
I was
Borders,
in one
Barnes
today.
And Noble. Oh, thank God. I'm so
I get
glad.
My comedy notebooks.
Did they get rid of
Barnes
Borders? Was Borders the one?
None.
Borders was the one that's done. So that's probably in a Borders because no longer there. It was in Santa Barbara. Because my mom is a big self-help advocate, being a hoarder and ex-hoarder, recovering hoarder. Still a little,
recovering
still a little bit of a hoard. Still a little bit of a hoard in the house. If she listens.
So when you go over and there's like boxes, are you like, Mom, are you okay?
A lot of boxes. Well, they've always just kind of been there, but they've slowly diminished over time. So it's like, okay.
My mom's the exact same.
Making
it's just like
progress.
We constantly look like we're doing an inside yard sale.
Yeah,
I'm just like,
exactly.
Who is this for? Why
exactly.
do we have this?
Yeah.
This teddy bear that I got in a vending machine when I was 8.
Right.
Like, why do we have this?
Right.
Was it a claw machine?
Yes. A claw machine.
That's why you have it.
Oh my God, because they're impossible to get. Beat it for once.
Yeah.
She'll never give up anything.
You never have to shop because you just go to mom's house to pick up gifts. Like, I swear I still don't buy gifts for people. I just go over there and get a nice tea kettle and be like, oh my God, she won't know.
Get gifts from Delaney. Do not trust.
They're not going to have a tag on them. Yeah. Or maybe they will. Yeah. But yeah, Mom, I mean, I love you. If you're listening, it's all great. But yeah, so she was like big advocate and she said, go find yourself a book. So I went to the self-help section for the first time and I found it has like an ice cream carton on the cover. And I was like, this sounds good. This is
an
cute.
Ice
it's pink.
Cream?
It's got like a carton of ice cream and it's pink and it's called like the Smart Girl's Guide, you know, to surviving a breakup. It's called A Breakup Because It's Broken. And I was like, done, sold. Yeah. And
is
I read
it. Like
it.
A series? Like a Smart Girl's Guide to Breaking
Up?
And there's
so.
Like other ones?
I don't think so. I just read this in like pretty much all one sitting because I was so sad and desperate like to feel better, you know, that it's like, what else are you going to do on a Friday night when you've, you know, your boyfriend's a douchebag.
Yeah.
And all I can remember, like I had to research like what was in the book because I had forgotten, but all I remember was like writing a pros and cons list about this guy. And then looking at the paper, I'm like, oh no, he's just kind of a shitbag. Like, I think I'll be okay.
Yeah.
I'll be okay.
That's always a good thing to do. Also to write a letter to the person and then don't send it. That's also, I think a good key. I think
that may have been in there too. Yeah.
I think that's bad advice because I always want to send it. Oh, I'm like, I worked hard on this. What am I going to not send? I'm not going to turn in my A paper.
It's immaculate.
Yeah. I spell checked it.
Oh my God. Oh, I love it. Amazing. But yeah, I mean, they have different exercises. It's cute. It's good. I mean, I really don't remember much of it. And obviously it didn't work because I went back to the guy about 6 months later. Right. And then, I ended up breaking up with him. But I ended up
boom.
Giving this. Yeah, boom.
Power playing.
Got it back. Power Maybe move. The book did work because I took control. Took him back and then fucking ruined him. No, I wish him the best. I hope he's fine.
I don't.
I hate him.
I hope he's okay. He's got a lot of issues. But
send him a book.
Yeah, we should. I actually sent this. I gave this book to a friend who went through a breakup and I just never got it back. So I hope it worked for her.
Yeah.
But who knows? Who knows? But yeah, if you have any questions about the book, I don't know if I can answer them because I don't remember a whole lot. I didn't retain a whole lot, but it was, yeah, you want to go through the breakover. It tells you, like, start dressing really cute so you feel a little bit better. Start exercising. Just, like, common sense stuff. Yeah. You know, like, self-help is just basically common sense, but somebody else is telling you and you follow it because
Absolutely.
It's just confirmation.
Yeah.
But the whole idea is, like, it'll eventually match how you feel on the inside.
Oh, like, smile right? until you're really feeling happy?
Yeah, fake it till you make it.
Fake it till you make it.
That's basically what this book is. Fake it till you make it. Here's some stories about other shitty breakups that people went through. Hope it makes you feel good.
Right.
But it's like, I just remember, I'm sure you guys have experienced this. After a breakup, you get that, like, one date that you're excited about after the breakup and it's like, oh, this has so much potential, and then it's so bad and then just makes the breakup even worse. Like,
yes.
I'm gonna be alone forever.
Oh my gosh.
Oh
yes.
No, it's that one.
It's so true.
That makes the breakup even worse. And I remember that in college I was like, oh, I met this guy at, like, the gym, super hot, went to pizza. And then he was just a real weirdo. He just rubbed my back, like, during, like, in the dorm while we watched a movie. But it wasn't, like,
I would have loved you're like, while I was peeing? Like, what?
During the pizza party. No. But, yeah, that was kind of my first self-help experience, was that book. And it was fun. I mean, I recommend it if you want a good Friday night read after crying.
And do you feel like it kind of got you going onto, like, okay, what else is there? How can I better myself more? Do you think that
totally.
Gave us kind of that first little addiction?
Absolutely. You know, I do think that started a lot of addictions for me. Because that's a great question, because I think in the book, from what I remember, like, you know, it tells you to try to stay really busy, you know, don't contact, just, like, kind of get into your own stuff. And I think that's when I started, like, my super busy, overproductive lifestyle, is because I was trying to ignore my depression. And I feel like that's not the greatest thing to do. Like, you want to process the grief, but you also want to stay so busy that you're not thinking about it. So it's again, another way self-help is kind of, like, good and bad in a little bit, a little way.
See, I mean, I think that I'm always the most productive when I'm, like, super depressed.
Totally.
Because I'll run right now because I just want to feel different.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I don't drink or do drugs of any kind, because I know I would just, like, use that instead of, like, eating right and trying to be healthy and stuff.
Yeah.
I think, like, why people break themselves over, I don't know how to use that term. I'm sorry. I couldn't even do it without rolling my eyes. try to make themselves over after a breakup is because, like, yeah, you're really sad. You feel like you're at rock bottom. So that's the perfect time to, like, kick yourself back up to the surface. So I feel like anytime you're sad, it's the perfect time to, like, jumpstart a new phase in your life, because that's when you're going to be the most motivated.
Exactly. Because you're, like, at the bottom of a hole looking up and you're like, okay, I got to get back up to ground level again. How do I get out of that?
Yeah. Your shadow at the end of Homeward Bound.
Oh my God.
I love that you guys got that reference.
Homeward Bound reference for the win. Taylor is,
I love you guys,
crushing it.
I just
rushing it.
I've spent so much of my time being misunderstood and There's so much love in this room right now.
You are accepted here, my child.
I have a picture of Shadow at the bottom of that muddy hole over my bed. That where your Beyonce quote is. I have a laminated photo of Shadow struggling to get out of the hole.
Oh my God. We could do a whole episode on Homeward Bound and how that affected our childhood.
We really could. Oh man.
Do you want to talk about your first book, Taylor?
Sure. I will go next. Okay. So my first book, first off, how old were you when you had your, when's your first book from?
My first book is from when I was 17.
Okay. Well, this is embarrassing. Cause you said 19, you said 17. Mine is like middle school. I'm pretty sure it's like seventh grade.
Okay.
Oh, I feel like that's the mark of someone, who's very messed up. But no. I like that your mom was kind of like the instigator of like, she's like, go pick out a book to help you.
Totally. And I feel like, did you guys read those Campbell's soul
chicken
food?
Soup?
Yes. Oh, that, I feel like that kind of counts. And we all did that.
Let's do a absolutely whole episode on that sometime.
So we're not alone with the starting early thing.
Okay, good. I feel better.
I absolutely read the chicken noodle soup for the soul for, it must have been like late elementary, early middle school. So absolutely.
We could do a whole episode on that.
Every night before bed. So you're not alone. Continue.
Okay, I feel better.
Proceed.
So this was like seventh grade, I want to say. It might have been sixth grade. I'm pretty sure it was seventh. My parents bought me this book. My dad bought me this book for Christmas, which again, dad, come on. What are we doing here? It's called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teens.
Oh, yeah.
It's by... So there's another guy who wrote a book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. This is by his son, appropriately enough.
Wow.
Yeah.
Keeping it in the family.
Keeping it in the family. It originally came out in like 98 because I went to Barnes & Noble to like brush up on it because, of course, I just got rid of it in like a slew of childhood memories from my parents' house. And... They've now updated it because it's like 5 million copies sold. It's like very popular. And they've updated it for the digital age because I was flipping through it. And at one point it's like, it seems like everyone in the world's seen Avatar, right? And I was like, oh, okay. I don't remember this back in 2007. And yeah, man, I mean, I remember really loving this book. The reason my dad bought it for me, I think, is because in middle school, I was supposed to be getting straight A's and I was not. I wasn't doing bad. I was getting B's, but I was supposed to be getting straight A's and I would get grounded like for the entirety of summer because I had B's.
Aww.
Yeah. Like real. So he bought me this book to motivate me. It's like,
wow. B's are not even that bad. I mean, wow. Like,
I know.
So your dad wanted you to be like, you're a star. Like,
he wanted me to get into a great college and, I dropped out to do comedy. So that went great. But, it really, I mean, the best part about it was there were these parts in the book that said like, you should be principles centered. You shouldn't be like, you shouldn't be school centered and you shouldn't be like parents centered. Like there were other things too, but this is what I honed in on because I was like, oh, you guys bought me this because you want me to live up to your expectations. And the book is telling me to not build my life on what you think I should be. Like, I don't think I ever showed it to him, but I really wanted to just be like, hey dad, this says that I shouldn't be school centered. I should enjoy my youth.
I love that you were using it against him.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
I never did because I was scared of him, but... I thought
like
about
the book didn't actually work because you didn't finish school.
No, I mean, it did. I was a good student.
So you ended up being a good student.
In high school, I was getting straight A's.
Okay. Because of the book? Like after the book?
After the book?
Going up?
The book, the book, again, very, very straightforward common sense stuff. Like the habits are, let me look at them because I took a picture. The habits are, some of these are so bad. Oh, man. Some of these
can't believe this has sold like 5 million. I've never heard of this book.
You've never? It's so popular.
I've heard of the first version. For non-teens, I've heard of that one.
For adults, that's what we call adults.
That's
in Hollywood.
Usually what we call
non-teens.
For those non-teen
wash-ups.
Yeah.
The habits are: be proactive, begin with the end in mind, put first things first, think win-win. Which, like, okay. seek first to understand, then to be understood. Synergize, which is like a little corporate for a teen
book. Is this where Synergize was birthed?
Yeah. I feel like that's something on a Zoolander or something. Like, synergize.
I think this is what they bring up in like douchey corporate meetings. We're like, look, we're going to synergize this week, and then we're going to hit the strip club on Friday.
This is a Dwight Schrute PowerPoint right here.
Exactly. And then the seventh habit is sharpen the saw, which is renew yourself regularly. And I think these are still good habits. Like, I was looking them over. I think, you know, like, be proactive. Put first things first was a big thing for me because I don't know if you guys were like this. I'm going to guess yes, because we're all very similar, that I would procrastinate because I was too nervous about doing something wrong.
Yes. I wanted it to be done perfectly the first time, and I didn't even want to do a rough draft.
Yes. So you wait until you only have an hour and then you have to do it. You don't have a choice to like look it over, and then you just have to let it go. You have to set it free.
Same way. With everything. With everything. I'm so last minute. Like even with something I'm working on now, just like a writing packet. It's like, I have 2 months, but I'm going to wait until 3 days before, you know, just kind of brush it up and be like, all right,
right,
that's it.
Yep. Yeah. And this book was like, no, you got to just put first things first. Put, you know, the whole short-term goal thing, like do that first and then you can do the next thing. And that really did like quell a lot of my anxiety because it was like, oh, okay, if I just look at the one thing in front of me, I finish that, check it off, do the next thing. Again, so basic. The seek first to understand, then be understood. That was like, I think in that they were like, you got to understand your parents are human beings. And I was like, okay, like, now you're turning against me, book.
Now, are these like the same rules for the book for non-teens? Did like they just change the wording?
I
like
don't
instead
know.
Of renew yourself, it's just like masturbate once a week. You know, like it's like more adult language.
Recycle like your sperm. Yeah,
I feel like that applies to teens too. Don't you?
Yeah,
maybe more so.
I started at 15. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah. Well, that's
you started at 9?
No, 15.
Oh, 15. On the record, 15. No. I was like,
but
what?
I do know somebody who started at 9.
Oh no, lots of people did, and I like can't believe it. I'm like, you guys are prodigies.
Yeah, no, that's what my whole the manicure tool story is for This Is Not Happening is that I tried when I was 15.
Oh yeah,
and ended up in the emergency room. So I tried, not very successfully, but I tried at 15. So, yeah.
She's gotten better out of it.
She's gotten way better. She has a fiance now. She's someone to do. She's outsourced that job.
Yeah. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
There's like, yeah, there was all these other things. They had the seven habits of highly defective teens. Oh, that was like, and it's like they react and they begin. It's just basically all the habits, but like the opposite.
Those
you know?
Kids need the DARE program. They need to fucking loop that in.
Defective.
Mad was Moms Against Drunk Driving, wasn't it?
What was?
Remember Mad? Do they still have Mad?
No, we had DARE.
They have DARE and they have Mad.
I never did DARE. Mad.
I'm sorry, I totally derailed
15
this.
Minutes?
I heard anybody? About that. Never
what
saw.
Was it? Every 15 minutes, they would like stage a car crash and they'd put your classmates in the car and then they'd drag them out all bloody.
What?
It was horrifying. And then we had a funeral for them in the auditorium.
Yes. Yes.
I'm sorry. What the fuck?
And they
are
would
we?
Notify the parents too. They'd have the police go to their parents. Their parents knew it was fake. And then like the parents would still cry hysterically. It was real messed up, but they do it right before prom. So like nobody drove drunk.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's effective.
I think pretty effective.
It's very effective. They have quotes like on every other page from like Shakespeare and, you know, all these people, which I loved, of course. And there are these little like wrap ups at the end of every thing. Like, did they have this in your book? You said it was kind of a workbook, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like a mixture of like stories, workbook, like questions, you know. Like I think like tasks and stuff and just like also just understanding why the relationship didn't work to begin with, like trying to figure out like
Like, it wasn't good. Like, whoever dumped you probably wanted to for, like, quite some time. Like, if you've ever been on the other side,
yeah.
Like, when you've dumped somebody in the past, you didn't really want to hear from that person again. And you didn't, and you probably have been waiting for weeks, like, when's a good time to do it? And all this kind of stuff.
That's such a good point.
And so it's like, it kind of, like, you have to think, get in the mind of the dumper a little bit. Ooh. You know what I mean? Even though I wasn't super dumped, it was just like I found out that he cheated and I kind of was like, get out of here kind of the thing.
Oh, yeah.
It was still like,
you were betrayed.
I was betrayed.
Yeah.
They need a book for that. I mean, I'm sure they do, but like they need a.
So you've been betrayed.
Yeah. I've been betrayed, but I was dumped one time in my life several years later. But that's okay. But this was way worse. The betrayal's way worse.
Yo, so much worse. And like, I just don't want to be with you. Oh,
yeah.
Gosh. Yeah, these had little wrap-ups that they called baby steps. Oh, and it precious. Was like, some of these are so bad. Like, one of, I think this is the one about being proactive or something. And one of, the first one just says, the next time someone flips you off, give them the peace sign back.
Oh my God.
That...
That's fantastic.
It's that, so bad.
Let's all try that and see how that goes, right? Like, I just feel like...
Road rage situation.
That would just make me feel worse, you know? Like, that would just make me feel like I wasn't taking control of my life or standing up for myself,
yeah.
You know? I can't be a pushover. There's got to be books about being a pushover, I'm sure.
Let's write a book called Give Them the Finger First.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Oh, my God, yeah. Beat them to the finger.
Yeah. But they also had stuff about, like, you know, being a people pleaser and, like, identifying fears that, like, hold you back and not comparing yourself. And yeah, it just, I think it's a great book and I would make my kids read it. Like, as cheesy as parts of it are, like the peace sign thing, and the, very confusing information on how to handle parental exchanges. other than that, I mean, it really did help me. Like, I was very motivated after I read it. I remember reading it in the top bunk of my bunk bed, like, I'm gonna get my life together, you know?
Oh my God, you're like 10.
I was so, yeah, I was like 12, but
oh,
you know,
my God.
Yeah.
You just picture like 10-year-old Taylor, like in little glasses and like a sweater in her bunk bed. I don't
100%.
Know, with like beads on her sweater. I'd be like, I'm really going to do this.
Am I a golden girl? Really?
A little fanny pack.
Yeah. My glasses aren't even on. They're just hanging around my neck.
Yeah. One of those like beaded necklaces.
On a lanyard.
My mom 1000% has those.
Oh my God.
She
gosh.
Rocks them hard. Yeah. I like that. I feel like that's a good thing to get yourself started with mm-hmm. the self-help. I love the quotes on there. That's how the artist way is. And we'll have to, we could probably
do
a whole episode on the artist way, probably.
Yes.
But yeah, the quotes on each page are helpful little, just little treats, little like
little treats.
I'm just going to have this little Cheeto of self-help as I keep going.
Cheeto
little
self-help.
Little quotes.
I love quotes.
Okay. I will, I'll talk about my first self-help book. This was something, and it's funny, Delaney, you mentioned your mom kind of getting you into your first self-help book, and my mom did the same for me, where my mom at one point, when I was probably in like early high school, got really into feng shui. How familiar are you guys with feng shui?
You put this couch here, you feel better.
Pretty much like, yeah, like the way you put your stuff in a room, like something with the energy of the room. I just know like when you're not supposed to like walk into a bedroom and see somebody's bed right away. That's all I know about feng shui. That's all I know about feng shui.
Where do you put the bed? In the closet?
Somewhere where like you don't just see it right away.
Oh, my room's all flanged up.
Like the energy of the space?
Yeah, okay. But it's so feng shui is kind of the idea that everything has energy, which is a real thing. Like furniture has energy. Everything has an energy to it because it's made of particles and all that sort of shit. And there's also a relational energy with everything. So like right now, us sitting together, we have a relational energy based on like where we are.
And it's fucking good.
And it's sexual.
Like pheromones.
So feng shui is this idea that based on where you have things in your living space, it can affect the energy that comes into your life, that goes out of your life, and kind of like what happens to you. So there are different levels of extremes.
That's a lot of pressure to put on an ottoman.
It's
so your stuff can like kill you.
It's
It's
like a horror film.
I know. And it's so hard because it's like ignorance is bliss with feng shui. Like once you start to really go down the rabbit hole with it, you're like, fuck, I can't put my garbage can anywhere because then I'm inviting garbage into this part of my life.
Oh my God, you're like visibly stressed out about this.
No, it's haunted. Guys, it's haunted me for 10 years. I'm telling you, tread lightly with feng shui. Like my college roommate, who is like also one of my best friends, but I drove her crazy because like it was the first time I had to live with somebody else who wasn't on the feng shui train. And she put there are these things called guas, G-U-A, and there are 9 guas in your living space. So if you were to like draw like a map of your apartment or your home or wherever you are, it's like 3 rows of 3. Does that make sense? So 9. So like 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Like tic-tac-toe?
Yes, exactly. So picture a tic-tac-toe being laid over the top of your floor plan. So when, and you always like designate what guas are which based on the front door. So you walk into your home, the back left corner of your home is the prosperity corner. So that's like the prosperity
shit,
gua.
That's what I've been doing wrong. Damn it.
Yeah.
I knew there was something.
Yeah.
Knew I had too much stuff in my prosperity corner. Or is it not enough stuff?
Is it not? Yeah. So there's a whole thing. And there's a love and relationship gua. And that's the back right corner from the front door of your home. And I got mad at my friend because she wanted to put board games there. And I was like, it's going to invite games into our relationships.
Oh, man. That's, I'm like, oh, we got to get out of this lease.
Yeah, I know.
Because Kelsey cray cray.
No, it's... It makes you...
Me and Kane had a shootings and ladders fight. Yeah. It's all your fault.
It makes you a witch, like I am a witch. So this book is called Move Your Stuff, Change Your Life, and it's kind of like feng shui for dummies, basically, because feng shui gets really deep into like ancient Chinese like directional shit, stuff that I haven't really gotten into, but this is an easy enough thing to follow along with. So here's why I got into this. My mom had been doing it and I was like, that's bullshit. Like, that's so stupid that you're going to
put... It sounds like a cult.
Yeah, that sounds like a cult. That sounds so stupid that you're putting the couch there for...
It's like hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah, exactly.
How did you...
It really opens up the space for my fang.
The space for my fang. Oh my God. So it was, she was like doing it to the whole house and I was so like cynical about it. I was like, this is so stupid. You're being a crazy person. And then I was a junior in high school and all of my friends were getting into their first serious relationships and I was the only one who wasn't. And I like was kind of feeling on my last straw. Like, you know how it is in high school, that pressure to just like feel included and fit in. And I was like, I really want to like be in love for the first time. I really want a boyfriend. And my mom was like, you should think about feng shui. And I was like, God, just give me the book. I was just like, whatever. I'll look at it. I was getting really desperate. So in the chapter of this book that deals with love and relationships, it's like, okay, go to this corner of your room or of your house. These are the type of things that you want there. These are the type of things you absolutely do not want there. So the things you're supposed to have there are like the color red, the color pink, like things that invite like that like lovey feeling. You want things of 2, like candles, like pairs of
but
shit.
But if this is somewhere else, it won't work. Like it's got to be in the
it's
right
spot. It's supposed to be in the, yeah, in the back
wow.
right corner. So, okay. And again, I know.
Is that why you have 2 large red crayons in the right hand corner of your apartment? Is that what those are? I always thought those were like a little quirky. But that's so you and Kane don't break up?
Yeah, that's
Kelsey,
how.
Is this why you're in love with me?
Yeah.
I get it now.
This all makes so much sense. That's why I warn people when you guys go into my bathroom, because there's pictures of Kane and I, there's like little like love quotes and shit in there because our bathroom is the love and relationship area.
That seems like a really bad
and sign. Taylor puked in my love and relationship area.
Oh my gosh, I got food. Okay, I was filming something and I got food poisoning from craft services. Never eat the fish, everybody. And we had a meeting about something we're writing afterward and I just got there and puked for half an hour? If I had known that that was your love and relationships corner, I would have gone outside. You could have pointed me in the direction of like revenge corner, and I would have barfed in your revenge corner.
You may as well have puked on my heart.
I'm so sorry.
You demon. So anyway, I go to this corner of my bedroom at the time, and I look at it. The number one bad thing to have in your love and relationship corner is a photo of you alone.
Shit.
Which at the time as I was reading it, I was like, I don't have, who has pictures of themselves?
That's a bad sign for anyone.
That's really douchey.
In any corner.
That's so douchey and weird. Why would you have a picture of you by yourself? Not even thinking anything of it. I look in that corner.
Graduation photo.
I have, no, worse. I have a picture of me by myself standing in front of the Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disneyland, because at the time I was completely, I mean like an unhealthy level, obsessed with Johnny Depp and Captain Jack Sparrow. Mm. And that picture honestly completely embodied my current love life.
Wow.
I was alone and I was obsessed with Johnny Depp. And I looked at that picture and I was like, what the fuck? And I grabbed it and I ran downstairs and I like threw it away. And I immediately, like all right away, I was like, oh my God, I'm starting to believe in this. This is so weird. And I like fixed it up. I put couple shit. I put all this stuff there. And I'm not kidding. A week later, this guy that I had gone to school with, like through middle school, through high school, he and I finally started to like, we got like assigned a project together in class. We started talking. That turned into my first relationship.
What the fuck? This pirate's photo, was it framed? Was it on one of those like pins? Like how was it positioned in your room?
It was in a Pirates of the Caribbean frame. It was two.
How old are you?
15.
15?
No, 17.
Oh, 17. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
16, 17, something like that.
So funny.
Oh, yeah.
In a Pirates of the Caribbean frame.
Like from the Pirates of the Caribbean gift shop. Like it was I was in a crazy place.
That is so funny. I had my first kiss on Pirates of the Caribbean at Disneyland and I thought that was a lame story, but I feel way better now.
Oh yeah.
That's
don't you worry.
That is way worse.
Don't you worry. So yeah. So I chucked that photo out. I changed things up and I swear to you, like, it became a real thing because I also just thought that's so strange that like he had been in my life as like a classmate for probably the last like 5 years. And like we hadn't like actually connected until I changed that shit.
Did he come up to you on Monday like, did you throw away a picture of you in front of the Pirates of the Caribbean? Something's different about you. It's that or highlight.
Yeah.
Like, did he know that you feng shuied yourself, or was that something that was revealed later on?
I think I eased that part in a little bit later. I didn't come out swinging full crazy. Well, yeah, because then he came over. I mean, like once you start like seriously dating somebody, you
had he seen your room before if you were like friends or classmates? Did he see like the before
no,
and after?
No. So not until we started dating. But then like he, you know, came to
probably
know.
Would have dumped you if you saw the before. Like if he had come over and be like, oh, Pirates of Giffa, I'm done. Yeah.
Never would have even happened.
No.
Because
never.
Yeah, Johnny Depp was scaring everyone away
with his gold teeth and his black eyeliner.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I want you guys to know I'm trying so hard to take this seriously, but I'm rolling my eyes.
That's fine, because again, I came at it from a place of exactly where you were, where my mom was doing it. I was like, this is so stupid. But I think here's like a very concrete part of it. Whether you want to believe in like the energy of it or whatever, there's something that's very concrete about what you are seeing every day and what you are visualizing helps move you toward your goal. Same thing as like making a goal
vision
poster.
Board.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's kind of
you basically turn your home into your vision board. So these are the guas. These are the areas of life. So you walk in, your back left corner is skills and knowledge. The middle of like the left wall is family. Back left corner is prosperity. Back middle is fame and reputation. Back right is love and relationships. Right middle is creativity. Back right is helpful people and travel. Back middle is career and life path.
I don't have enough stuff to fill these sections.
Yeah, and then in the middle,
I'm like, they're gonna bleed together like a Thanksgiving plate.
They do though, but that's good because like they're arranged in that way because there's kind of a relationship between each of those things, and health is in the middle. So like you can look at the cover of this book and see that these are the guas. So health is in the middle. So it's like skills and knowledge.
I don't need to read the book now. I just look at the cover and I'm set.
Yeah. So, and it's basically,
this is a little weird though.
It gets
the
into
bottom
like,
is computers.
Yeah. it gets into like elements where like for fame and reputation, it's like the fire element, like which kind
of
exactly. Like a candle is so good to put in that area. It kind of signifies like wanting to get your like fame and reputation like
I honestly
fire.
Can't wait to read this because I just want to try to see if there's any kind of weird shit that happens if I move my dresser 2 feet.
Let's try it because God, that's the thing. That's what's so weird is when I've talked to friends about it in the last 10 years that I've been doing it, I will go to their home and it for sure without fail I will look at my friend's like room or wherever they live and whatever issue is happening in their life, I can see it in that area.
Oh my God. Can you come and like give me a diagnosis of my bedroom?
Yes.
Oh my God. Just walk in and be like, you have a lot of eye allergy problems. Yeah. I can tell by the way this picture is hung on the wall.
That would be amazing if we did. You like, let's just turn this into a reality show for TLC where you
feng shui
go to
doctor.
Homes. Yeah. The room whisperer. And you come in and you're like, you have trash in your health space, and I can't do
right.
it. It's like, okay, so just so you guys know, the back of this book, the top like review is from Professor Lin Yun, world's foremost black hat style feng shui authority. That sounds made up. Mad Lib title.
It really does. And to be honest, the older I've gone, like when I've gone back to this book to try and refer to it, like, oh, what was like, what's bad to have in that area? There are parts where I'm like, ooh, like this is pretty cheesy and kind of weird. But I will say, like, there are some basics of it. Like, even if you don't get into it to, like, the nth degree, a dead plant is not good energy in your home, no matter what area you put it in. It's not good to have a dead plant in your love corner or in your prosperity corner or in your health area. Like, you know what I mean?
On the health area.
Yeah. And health is in the middle because health affects everything. If you don't have your health, you don't have anything.
Is this like the baby corner?
Creativity.
Which is supposed to be like, I thought it was like, so this would be family. Like, so if you put a dead plant in your family corner, would that like help you not get pregnant?
Let's all go off the pill.
Ladies, throw your pills out.
Now I have a question because this is really fascinating because I'm super into like the minimalist movement where you just don't have like any stuff at all really.
Yeah.
So how does that affect if you don't have any stuff really, how can you put shit in your love corner if you got no shit to put there? You know what I mean?
It's kind of good because feng shui is definitely about the idea of like decluttering, like clutter and shit like that is bad energy. If you walk into a space that has a bunch of clutter, it's harder to be productive. You feel that energy of like, ugh, like I can't even think clearly,
right.
As opposed to like, if this table right now had nothing on it, we'd probably feel kind of like,
zen.
Like there'd be there's kind of a weird, satisfying feeling to that.
But instead it's got chips and tissues and water and chocolate
and
almonds. And a disgusting tissue from my face.
But sometimes I love the minimalist idea, but then like I just moved and you realize how much stuff you have when you move. And I love having all the books that I have, even though I never look at them, but I've read them, and I, whenever I see them, I'm happy. And I like having a lot of like Christmas lights up.
Totally.
And stuff. So, you know, I get the feng shui. I mean, I just don't get all the, like, you know, the candle got me a boyfriend thing. Like,
right, right.
But I'm willing. I feel like, here's the thing with self-help too. Here's another great point. What you read and what you're exposed to, whether or not it resonates with you, is so dependent on where you are in your life.
Totally.
Like you said, like, you really wanted a boyfriend. You finally gave into this as, right, like a way to like see if it works, you know,
right,
let's just see, you know, I couldn't get straight A's. I was like, all right, we'll read anything. You went through a breakup. You were like at the bottom of the barrel or whatever. And you're just like, you know what? I can't, like, let's just read a book and see if that helps. Cause you're just willing to try anything. And so I feel like you do have to be very open to the concept. Like, I don't have, if I like had something that I was really trying for, maybe that like I felt like I couldn't get, and I had tried everything and it just wasn't happening,
right,
and I'm like, there's a corner for that, I might put a candle there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Just again, and it's like what we're saying, it's, there's energy in your intention. If you are focused on like, I really want this particular thing to happen, who knows if putting a fucking, you know, teddy bear in that corner is going to change something. But I think you making that a focus of yours kind of automatically helps bring more attention to that in your life. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, it's all about like keeping gross shit out, which is just a good principle anyway. You don't want to have your place looking disgusting. No. And it's not unrealistic where it's like you can't have garbage cans, but it's like if your garbage is overflowing and there's shit all around it, like take your trash out, like,
right,
just keep your shit right. And it kind of goes with what we're going to talk about at the end now is, you know, with goals, hashtag goals. It's like just putting that out in front of you, like a goals poster or whatever, it helps you move toward it. So this whole book, you know, move your stuff, change your life. It's like,
clean your house, get a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, man,
yeah,
that is so interesting. I'm so glad that yours was something we didn't know anything about.
Yeah.
Because ours was a little more basic.
And I genuinely, I think it'd be so fun for the podcast for me to come to your guys' places.
Oh my God, please.
And yes. I'm telling you, like, a friend of mine in college, she was like, she also wanted a boyfriend. And I looked at her love and relationship corner. She had all these pictures of her kind of like drunk partying.
Oh.
And like, that's all she was doing. She was like having like drunk hookups. And she was like, I want to meet somebody. And I was like, well, this isn't helping. Like, this is like all you're seeing. This is all you're doing. So it's just, I don't know.
I have another question.
Okay.
So if you are in a place where you do not want a boyfriend, should you take a picture at Disneyland by yourself, buy a frame, and put it in your love,
yeah,
corner to ward off?
Yeah, that would probably
to ward, like, off dudes.
Or like put a cactus there.
A cactus.
Cactus.
Oh.
Also, though, the thing with love and relationship, okay, a duct. Yeah, the love and relationship corner also is for all relationships, like your friendships, and like, you know what I mean. So it doesn't have to be romantic. It can just be like keeping a good, like, and again, it gets into more detail with that in the book, but like, you know, if you feel like a friendship of yours is suffering or something like that, or you want to put more attention to it, it's stuff like that. Yeah.
So so I have a question. What if you like you have roommates? So like, if you can't feng shui your apartment, can you feng shui your bedroom instead?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
So
if your bedroom is just like your feng shui,
totally,
place,
you can feng shui your car. You can feng shui like your office.
Your car?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My car is not feng shui.
Oh,
my
neither.
My car is a disaster.
Mine neither. I couldn't get on board with that, but yeah, you can. You totally can.
I think it's funny because we both have our love and relationship stuff in our bathroom, because that's the only place I have pictures of like me and my boyfriend is in,
really,
our bathroom, because like, where else do you put it? Because we like,
so
we room
yeah,
with somebody else, and it's like, where do you put like coupley photos? I don't want to put them like on our wall in our bedroom. I think that seemed kind of weird, because like only us will probably see that.
Right.
So
you got to show off your
other
relationship.
People will see,
yeah,
it, I guess. Yeah. I would like, look at what we're doing, you guys. We're so happy.
Yeah.
Look at while you pee. Look at me. Look at him with such adoration in
yeah,
the snow.
Exactly. Or as you throw up.
It was weird to be throwing up. And every time I came up for air, it was just you and Kane like at a baseball game. And I was like, man, they look really happy. Ooh.
Yeah. Then you threw up more.
I know.
You're like, fuck
Cracker
them.
Jacks.
Oh,
yeah. Hot dogs. Loneliness.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. So,
oh, man, that was great.
We will do that for one of the next episodes. We will do some feng shui exploring.
Cook, room whisper.
Yeah.
Okay. One more question. How do you say it? Is it feng shui?
Feng shui.
Feng shui.
Yes.
Okay.
So feng shui.
Like, okay. They put the fun in feng.
Okay.
Okay. But if all I just right. was like, I took the mic away from Delaney. That wasn't
just like, get out.
We
get
can
out
replace now. Her, right?
So
I think we're gonna go to our final segment. Now we're gonna wrap this up.
Yes.
Okay.
Hashtag goals.
Hashtag goals, everybody. Probably seen it on Instagram. Some people put under pictures of like hot bodies and mm-hmm. hot relationships and whatever they have a goal to do or be.
This is what we're working on this week, right? Like just yes. a weekly goal that we're just kind of focused. It could be really small, it could be really big, right?
Totally.
Awesome.
Yeah. Who wants to start? I have one. I'll do it.
Go.
I volunteer as tribute. So I was filming a TV show that took a toll on my soul and heart for about a week and a half. And so bad. I didn't say what it was. It's fine. And it was hard for me, and also it was really long days, so I didn't have time to work out, and I'm getting back into it, and I went to the gym today and stuff, but I was, you know, doing really well before that, and so my goal for this week is to get back into working out every day and making time for it. And a sort of side goal to that, I just started utilizing the showers at the gym, so you don't have to go home. Yeah. I've never done it before. And wow, some of these women are so comfortable out in the wild with their bodies. Like, I mean, Delaney, you probably crush it in a gym oh my God. Locker room,
Delaney's
right?
in the shower, like, squeeze them.
Yeah.
Like, I've been known to do some naked yoga in the sauna.
Oh my God.
For sure. Yeah, I am not like that. I'm like, yeah. I take my clothes off and get dressed in the shower stall, which doesn't work because you get all wet. And like me trying to put on workout pants with wet feet, I was having a panic attack because I was like, someone's going to come around the corner and I'm just naked. It's not even like I'm embarrassed of my body. I just feel like it's an assault on other people. Even when they're naked, I'm just like, I feel like I'm doing something wrong when I see other women like naked. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. And they're like, we're in our locker room. And I feel like when I'm naked, they're like, nobody wants to see that. Like, not because I'm ugly. I'm pretty banging. But like, you know, I just feel like it's, you know, it's forcing things on people and I don't want it. But my goal is to be more confident in the women's locker room and, you know, maybe be a little naked because we're all doing the same thing there.
I think your goal this week should be naked in the locker room for like 35 seconds.
35 seconds? That's like an iTunes preview.
Just like walk around for 35 seconds.
Let's get
naked. Whether there's somebody there or not, but just knowing that anybody could walk in on you could really give you a thrill.
You want me to take a lap? I was just thinking like change near the lockers instead of behind a stall door.
No, I want a naked lap.
Okay.
You know, it's so funny. I'm so like completely comfortable in a locker room if my back is to people. Like, I have no issue if people walking by and see my naked ass, but then up front it's just like, oh my God, there's tits and nipples and vagina and it's there's
the holy trinity,
there's everything going, like it's just so much more for people to be a part of in your life.
You know why I think I'm comfortable being naked is because like I, like before my new titties, I pretty much have like the body of a child. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I feel like there's just nothing to see. Like I don't have any curves. So it's like, if I'm just naked, it's just like seeing a finger, like walking around, you know what I mean? It's like, right. There's nothing to see here. Move along. So it's right. like, I think that's why I was so comfortable. Cause it's like, I got nothing to show anybody. So like, it's just, I'm just here.
Yeah.
But now with the boobies, it's like, now I want to show people. Yeah. But before, it's like,
now the world is my catwalk.
Now she's like a finger with boobs.
Yeah.
I'm a really, really good looking finger now.
Yeah.
Body of a finger. That's so funny.
That's a great visual.
Oh my gosh. That is so, so funny. Yeah. Okay. I can do that. I've also, have you heard that thing people say where like the more time you spend naked, the more like confident you are?
You know, okay, I've tried to sleep. Everybody's like, oh, all the benefits of sleeping naked.
To get too cold.
I feel weird. Also, we have three cats. Like, I don't like the thought of like a stray cat hair roaming around my underside. Like, yeah. I just like to have my panties and my fucking shirt.
And like, are we still not talking about the fact that like stuff like kind of comes out of us? Like, I know that's like, it's gross.
Dude.
It's like, it shouldn't be gross, but like, yeah. it's It's like an open wound. I mean, I know that sounds gross, but it's like, I don't want to lay naked on my sheets because then I have to wash them more regularly.
I know.
Yeah. You know, the only place I like to sleep naked is in hotel rooms, but then I'm afraid someone will walk in. So then that ruins it.
See, I'm like the opposite because I'm in a hotel room. I'm like, oh, this is so filthy.
Well, you just ruined
it. I'm basically
filthy and bleached. Like they always bleach their towels and way too much.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not doing it now.
But everything's
white and it's fresh and
that's true. I mean, I have done it a couple times in hotels. Here's what I won't do. I won't take a bath anymore because I just can't not think about
it's like my favorite place to take a bath. I know. Yeah, but I I rinse it off a little bit and then I really go for it. But like I rinse it off with like scalding hot water to like maybe kill all the germs and then I'll get in there.
If it's a nice hotel with like bath jets, you have to.
Yeah.
Put your feet in there at least.
Yeah.
You're not getting your money's worth if you're not bathing in
hotels. I'm all fucked up the manicure tool situation. Oh, I'm all messed up where I don't
that stuff.
Like anything like that I don't trust washing in and out there. I don't want it. I don't know. I'm scared.
You need a dam or something.
I need a fence
around your lady
Donald
parts.
Trump, come build a wall around my pussy, you fucking creep. All right. Delaney, you have a goal?
Oh, God. I've been eating a lot of bagels recently, and so my goal is to just eat less bagels.
I know.
Again, I got the finger body going on, which is, pros and cons, but like I just want to eat less bagels. I think that's my goal is because I just eat a really gross amount of them and more.
Like how many bagels?
Like probably a bagel a day. And I feel like that's too many bagels.
Not as many as I thought. That's like a normal amount for a thin person to eat.
Is it? Yeah. A normal amount, like a full bagel,
somebody who has the metabolism that you have.
Yeah.
Totally normal.
That's
for me,
fine.
I would be 300 pounds, but you are fine.
Okay.
I don't think I thought you were eating a bagel breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
I mean,
you were
sometimes
like a 5-year-old with.
It's sometimes a morning night routine. Like, so I ate a bagel with cream cheese last night at 11:30, and I shouldn't probably do that late. I mean, I should put if you're gonna have a bagel, maybe have it in the morning so you can burn it off. Yeah, that's true. I really shouldn't be doing that. But it's I just feel like I eat a lot of them. Like I should just replace some of my bagel usage with green foods.
Well, yeah. Yeah, no, you definitely should.
Yeah, so my goal, eat less bagels, even though I love bagels. Bagels and cream cheese, top 5 favorite things to eat, but I feel like I shouldn't overdo it.
Yeah.
Just for my health.
Bagels and cream cheese is the best
comfort food. It's the best, dude.
Oh.
And it's maybe I'll sound like an asshole. I don't really gain weight, which, cool.
You sound like an asshole.
I know. I'm
lost
a total.
All of our listeners. God damn it, Delaney.
Totally open to that. I'm a fucking piece of shit. But just doesn't mean I'm healthy on the inside. You know what I mean? Just because I'm not gaining the weight doesn't mean my triglycerides are not through the roof, you know?
Oh yeah.
So
my old roommate ate whatever she wanted. She's the tiniest person ever. She's she's short. She's small. She ate I would talk to her. I'm like, you're going to die. I had one shelf and it was just spinach and avocados and eggs. And her whole thing was hot dogs and cheese slices and Coca-Cola. I'm like, you're murdering yourself slowly. And she's like, I know, but I'm so small. I'm like, oh,
I'm so small. It won't hurt that bad when I die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm trying because I'm aware of that. I need to really focus on being healthy just because I don't see the outward effects right away, but I have gone to the doctors in the past where because I don't really gain weight, I just used to eat whatever the fuck I wanted. And they're like, you have high cholesterol. And I was 21.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it's you really have to focus on the fact that you have a high metabolism, but you can't be eating use burgers and pizza every day for lunch. I'm oh shit. So the bagel thing is all right.
Gotcha.
It's a good goal to maybe cut down on bagels.
Gotcha.
It's gonna be hard.
That's reasonable. It's doable. It's
doable.
An attainable goal.
I'm doing maybe 7 bagels a week. I'm gonna drop down to 5.
Yeah. We are really raising the bar for
so
everybody
much.
Over here.
Monday, Tuesday, no bagel.
Yeah.
Those are work days.
Oh my God. Okay. Mine is, this is actually something that I got the idea from Jessica Michelle Singleton's, I think her Instagram story one day. She was showing that she had a poster of goals. It was
Oh, I messaged her after. Was it when she got paid regular?
Yes.
Yeah, I messaged her. I was like, oh my gosh, I love this.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So she had a poster that had a bunch of sticky notes on it that had goals. And then she had a different poster that said accomplishments. And
oh, that's awesome.
When she accomplished them, she would move the sticky from the goal poster to the accomplishment poster. And I was like, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. And it very much resonates with me. I grew up with these. My parents made these like big girl charts for me is what they called them, where they like got a piece of poster board and they made little columns and rows. And it was like, you know, Kelsey, brush your teeth 3 times a day, or, you know, things that you have to tell a 4-year-old to do because like you don't know otherwise, you're just going to be like a homeless person. You aren't naturally like, you don't naturally know that you have to do that. So like these little like very attainable things. And every time I did it, I'd put a sticker in the box. And then when I filled out the whole chart, I got like a prize or something like that. So I've always been it's like fucking like visual. Pavlov's dog. Yeah. My parents have raised me like that. So when I saw that she was doing that, I was like, that makes so much sense. So I've had that for probably the last like 6 months, and it does feel so good, especially as somebody, like I'm very hard on myself. It's an important thing for me to like actually physically move something from goals to accomplished and look at it and go, you did a good job. Like give yourself a little pat on the back before you just immediately focus on what you have to do next. Like stop and tell yourself, okay, good job. You did a good thing. So I need to like replenish my goals poster because I actually accomplished some of the things, and now I need to like kind of reassess what needs to happen now.
That's great. And it's like all levels of goals.
Yeah.
On this
thing? I have like stand up goals, podcast goals, writing goals, TV goals, stuff like that. So yeah,
love that. That's fantastic.
I love that too. I always meant to do that also after I saw that, and I never did. But now I want to do the big girl poster thing. And,
big girl chart, yeah.
And I want to give myself stickers for like,
oh yeah,
like a bagel goal.
Oh my God.
You could do stickers for bagels.
I could have bagel stickers.
Yes.
Oh my God. You guys, I feel like we should do like a shopping at the Dollar Tree where we pick out our stickers for our boards. Yes.
That's like an artist way date. That's what they tell you to do, is every week you're supposed to do an artist date where you take yourself and do something fun like that. So
I mean, vision boards in general, I think those are great. Like, I got to do a show with Maria Bamford like a couple years back for the first time, and I was just like, I think I told her, I was like, I put like you on my vision board, and she was like, yeah, it's really cool being out in LA. That stuff can kind of happen, and she's very nice about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that sort of works into like your feng shui stuff, is like you're visualizing it every day. So it's keeping your mind on it, if nothing else, even if there's no magical aspect to it.
Yeah. You're seeing it.
You're seeing it, and it's keeping it at the front of your brain.
Totally. Well, you guys, we are at an hour 12, so we should
crush it first ep.
This was so fun. Let's plug all of our social media and stuff, shall we?
Oh, yes, let's do that.
At DelaneyFisher.com, you can all find all things Delaney Fisher, I guess.
Got your name? That's so awesome.
Yeah.
My website is ttomcomedy.com because TaylorTomlinson.com is taken by like a motor company, I think. I need to fix it. If that's not still in use, but yeah, ttomcomedy.com.
Perfect. Mine is kelseycook.com. Again, go there. That will have everything, at Kelsey Cook on Twitter. Are you guys all at
Delaney Fisher,
at Taylor Tomlinson, T-Tom Comedy on Instagram, because there's a big One Direction fan, who stole my name and never posts and won't respond to my emails.
God, that's right. Yep. Yep.
Well, maybe she'll respond to our podcast.
Yes.
I'm going to put that on my vision board, Instagram at Taylor Tomlinson.
Perfect. Also, please subscribe to the Self Helpless podcast. We're super, super stoked about this. We really want to just get so much steam behind it. So please subscribe. Please go find it on iTunes and give it a 5-star rating and review. It takes literally no time at all to click on that 5th star. That's like a 1-second move that you could do to help us. It feels good to help somebody, and it will make us happy if you do that. And if you have
Pay it forward. Starring Kevin Spacey.
Exactly. If you have an extra 20 seconds, say something nice. Say what you like about this podcast. Let us know if there's something that you want us to talk about.
Right.
Perhaps a book that you guys like, a goal that you're working toward. Tweet at us too. Let us know.
If we need advice, right?
Yeah.
If you need advice about anything, we'd be happy to do that. Tweet at us.
Yes, we will be happy to provide a Frankenstein version of advice. Probably just bits and pieces of everything we've read and absorbed over the years.
Yeah. We are like non-official self-help gurus. We're just dubbing ourselves that because we've
self-appointed.
Yes, self-appointed self-help gurus. Also, please go find Cooked on iTunes because I've had both Delaney and Taylor on, and that is my podcast. Both some of my favorite episodes having you two on. So go find Cooked. Go find Cooked, and we will talk to you guys next week.